PTC is go.
Thank you, this is go.
PTC is go.
Copy, this is go.
Houston flight is go.
Pilot go.
STM is go.
Safety cost is go.
SDE is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDI is go.
Launch director, NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Site Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not going to stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com. Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. It is Tuesday night, 2/22/22. That's our date. And it's a Tuesday. 2/22/22 Tuesday.
Yes. And that won't happen again for God knows how many years.
A long, long time. You and I probably won't be doing this show when it comes around again.
I don't think we'll even be a memory by then.
I kind of think you're right. Folks, welcome to the show tonight. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about. We're going to be talking about Ukraine quite a bit. Programming note, we're going to talk about Ukraine here in the first segment for the entire first segment. Then Diane is going to cover the Manchurian president. Now, I had an article ready to go for tonight regarding the Super Bowl. I'm going to indefinitely postpone it. We're going to try and get it in on Friday if we can, but we are going to spend the final segment of the show where I would have been doing that article going back and talking more about Ukraine, because I don't know if you folks realize it, but Ukraine is in the news.
Yes. We wish it wasn't, but unfortunately it is.
You know, if you go to rspradio1.com, go to World News, you'll find pretty much nothing but Ukraine.
Yes. Right now.
It is dominating the headlines.
Yes, it is, and rightly so.
Now, Diane, you have some opening comments. You want to send up an opening salvo on this, mm-hmm. and I've got a few things I want to say. Go ahead and let fly with your opening salvo.
Okay, right now I'm going to say that Biden, in a speech a few weeks ago, told Putin a, quote, minor incursion would not be seen as an act of war. The provinces Putin has now declared independent were loyal to Russia and wanted to be part of Russia, as most living there considered themselves ethnic Russians. And as of right now, Putin has not gone further into Ukraine. Doesn't mean he won't, but right now he hasn't. Biden's slapping sanctions on Russian banks and Russian oligarchs will do nothing to discourage Putin if he does decide to push further into Ukraine. And with Russia far from being a poor country with a well-equipped army, I believe if monies were needed, they could count on China for said monies. Also, you have to remember, Mitt Romney was right in 2008 when he said Russia was the biggest threat to world peace. In other words, even a broken clock can be right twice a day. Remember, Obama and his then-running mate Joe Biden laughed at that. And don't think for a minute that Putin does not have all the info on Biden and Hunter's, what are paramount to criminal dealings with Ukraine, whose government has its own shady issues. And that's why Biden did not dare put sanctions in place before now. In fact, his just placed sanctions are basically meaningless and all for show. Germany cutting off construction of the Nord Stream 2 pipeline is more powerful than Biden's sanctions. Joe Biden, right from the beginning, basically egged Putin on. He baited him. And in my opinion, Joe Biden is as much to blame as Vladimir Putin is for the situation the world seems to be in now. For Biden has made us a laughingstock on the world stage, a country no longer to be taken seriously or trusted where allies and friends are concerned, a country who is also ignoring its own invasion on our southern border. Right now, Putin has won. And not only is Ukraine in trouble, but America is as well.
You know, we're going to discuss both of our opening statements tonight here in a couple of minutes, because I think there's things in Diane's statement, I think there's going to be things in my opening statement that beg further discussion.
I think so.
You know, I think we need to get into those things. These are things you're not going to hear in mainstream media. Okay, you probably won't even hear any of this from Fox.
Yeah, Fox is turning into something that we really have to question a lot of what's going on Fox now. But maybe when Trump's, you know, Truth Social is up and running, real truth will get out.
Hopefully. Okay, here's kind of my opening salvo for tonight. You know, Biden is putting together quite a string of foreign policy failures and disasters. For a guy that's only been in office barely over a year, right now the string of disasters is piling up mighty fast, and it's mighty deep. Okay, think back. It's only been a few months. We're talking about September, the very first of September, when Biden engineered a gross failure, a massive debacle in Afghanistan. This is when Biden turned his back on Americans that were in Afghanistan and also our Afghan allies. He swore up and down that it would take at least 6 months for the Taliban to put together any kind of a government or do anything to really take over that country. It took a matter of a few days, not 6 months. He left Americans behind enemy lines. He left our allies behind enemy lines. In fact, Biden brought thousands upon thousands of quote-unquote Afghan refugees, many of whom were never vetted, many of whom we now know have ties to terrorist organizations, and many of those we have misplaced in our own country. We don't know where they are. Okay, so we've got that little debacle going on, but it's part of a massive debacle. Now, just a few months later, I mean less than 6 months later, now what we have is the Biden regime turning their back on yet another ally. Now, I know there's been a lot of tough talk coming from the White House about sanctions, okay, and little more. But the fact remains, whether or not, you know, Ukraine is a democracy, and they're not, okay, we've talked about that on this show a couple of times. They're not really a democracy, and they're a tenuous ally at best, but nonetheless, they are an ally to the United States, and they are an ally to a great portion of Europe. And by saying, well, you know, we're going to give you $1 billion here and $1 billion there and some defensive missiles, but we're not going to put any troops in there. We're not going to go to war with Russia over Ukraine, and basically giving the green light to Vladimir Putin to do whatever the hell he wants to do in Ukraine. We're turning our back on another ally. We're throwing another ally under the bus, the way we threw Afghanistan under the bus. Mm-hmm. I think what Putin is after right now, and what he's like a shark that smells blood in the water, what he wants right now is the total embarrassment of the U.S. Diplomatic corps, the U.S. position on the world stage. What he wants to do, Putin, he wants to remove the U.S. from any position of power on the world stage, because he knows that once he has Ukraine, there won't be an ally on the planet that will ever trust the U.S. especially under the Biden regime, to have their backs, to stand up for them, and to repel this sort of aggression.
Yet, you know, Craig, it's very interesting what you said at the very end, because Biden also announced today new U.S. troop movements and equipment and men into the NATO countries of Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania. However, he also said we will not fight, you know, Russia in Ukraine. But pray tell, if you're sending troops there, and let's say something happens in Estonia and there's shots fired there, oh, what are we going to stand back there? Well, you know, we gave you some more tanks, but the president, the commander-in-chief said, we can't help you with the fighting. We are going to be the biggest laughing stock on the world stage that we've seen in many, many decades.
Well,
but folks, this is the people who voted for this farce as president, for an election stolen, because Putin didn't dare step out of line when Trump was president.
Well, if you're Estonia, if you're Belarus, if you're Czechoslovakia, if you're Poland, you know, let's go a little further. Let's say you're Germany. Let's say you're any of the NATO countries. If Putin takes the whole of Ukraine, would you trust the U.S. to have your back at that point? I certainly wouldn't.
Not under this president, I wouldn't.
Well, no. And so let's project it down the road, maybe a little bit further. Okay, let's say for the sake of argument, Donald Trump runs in 24. Let's say for the sake of argument, Donald Trump wins in 24. Okay. By then, there's going to be so much damage that's been done in Europe, so much damage that's been done to our standing on the world stage, our position of power on the world stage. I don't know that simply reelecting Donald Trump to be the commander-in-chief is going to change any of that overnight. And I think it might be such a big hill that we're not going to be able to climb out of it for decades.
Well, I think the one thing we have going for us is the midterms. If we take back the House and the Senate, and I mean fully take them back, folks, where we have the total majority to do what needs to be done, I think we can at least hold Putin in check where he can't go further, which might give a Trump presidency or a DeSantis presidency a chance to really go in and show American muscle again.
Well, you might be right. Okay, here's the problem I see with that. Exactly what is Congress going to do, or can Congress do, to hold Putin in check? I mean, the military is still the military, and unfortunately right now our military has been pretty much decimated under a year with Biden at the helm. Putin has to know that our top generals, the top brass in the Pentagon, is more worried about personal pronouns than they are about military activities.
Well, I'm gonna say this. If we take full Congress back, both houses of Congress, full majority, I think the military leaders will turn on Biden.
I would hope you're right. But when I look at the ilk of like General Milley and some of those people, I just don't see them doing that.
But we have good generals that you don't hear about. We have good admirals you don't hear about. A lot of stuff is kept quiet. A lot of stuff is done behind the scenes. And I don't think our military, I'm not talking about, you know, Obama appointees or the ones, you know, that are standing by Biden. I'm talking about the rank and file military and the military leaders who were loyal under President Trump. I think they would have a big say, no, it's done. I would even go so far as to say if Putin is still aggressive, by that time that the military might remove Biden from office.
I hope you're right. I really do. But I think back to what happened in Afghanistan in September, and I remember a Marine who stood up and said, why isn't anybody taking the blame for this?
Mm-hmm.
And he got thrown out. So, you know, it's a weird situation that we find ourselves in. But I want to go back now and revisit, revisit something you said in your opening statement, Diane. You talked about Mitt Romney and mm-hmm. how when he was running for president, how he said that Russia was the biggest threat we faced. Obama and Biden laughed at him for it. Now, I'll tell you what, you know, it's one thing to have said that back then. And I don't think back then, I don't think Russia was our biggest threat. I think it was China. I think China still ranks right up there. Russia did not become a threat to the U.S. until Biden, under the direction of Obama for the last year, made them a threat to the
U.S. Well, let's put it, I think you just missed the mark by a couple of years there. I think Russia became a threat when Obama was in office, because Obama did nothing to keep them in check either.
Well, that's true, because in 2014, Russia took over Crimea.
Exactly, and Obama did nothing.
Now, I'll go back even further, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
You can go all the way back to Billy Boy Clinton.
Oh, of course. A lot of these problems started with Billy Boy.
Well, what a lot of folks don't remember, because it's been too many years, but when Clinton was in office, Ukraine was a nuclear-armed country.
Correct.
Okay. Clinton signed that away. Clinton made Ukraine get rid of their nuclear arsenal. He made them give their nukes back to Russia.
Hold on a minute. Do you think, and this is just supposition on my part, do you think they kept any of their nukes?
No. No, I don't think they did. And the reason I don't think they did is because we would have known that. The UN engineered that. That was under Bill Clinton.
Yeah, the useless nations.
Right.
Yeah.
Russia would not be doing what they're doing tonight in Ukraine if Ukraine still had nuclear weapons.
Do you think at this point that Russia, everybody forgets there's another player that's not taking part now but could take part? Israel.
Right.
Okay, Israel is ties now with Russia and ties with Ukraine.
Right.
Do you think they could enter into this game a little bit? Sort of in the end coming in and saying to Russia, look, you know, we forge ties together, but we also have ties with Ukraine. It's not to your advantage because of all the things we are now trading with you and doing for you. Maybe you need to step back, you know, a step or two, at least for a little while. Could Israel be the country that buys us the time till 2024 and we can get a Trump back in office?
I can't say no. Okay,
yeah.
You can't discount that out of hand.
No.
You know, Israel could easily become a major player in this from a diplomatic standpoint. Okay. They're not going to get into it militarily.
No.
But they could very easily
that.
Become a diplomatic player in all of this. That is part of the article you and I wrote a couple of weeks ago.
Right. But it's a little more apparent now because Israel has been talking to Putin and has been also talking to Zelensky.
Right, and we don't know what's going on there. Yeah, we don't know what's going on behind those scenes.
Exactly. So you can't discount that Putin is going to do a big show now. He's going to get certain things that he wants, and then suddenly he might stop for a while, which might buy us the time to get this joker out of office.
Well, and let's be perfectly honest here about the position, the potential position that Israel has from a diplomatic standpoint. Now, you mentioned that they have deals that, you know, a lot of things they're doing with Russia. They also have things they're doing with Ukraine, but it doesn't end there. But it doesn't end there. Israel is also strongly allied with several European nations.
Correct.
Now, if Israel had the mind to, they could use that leverage and say, listen, you know, this is going to be a tough row to hoe in all of Europe if you continue along this path. And because of our alliances with so much of Europe, we're not going to abide by this, and we might cut off some things for you too. But the real question when it comes down to all of this diplomacy right now is centered around sanctions.
Exactly. And that's ridiculous. Russia, they must be laughing tonight at Biden. Oh, you're going to, you know, sanction our banks and our rich people? I mean, who does Biden think he's dealing with here? Russia is not a poor, destitute country.
No, but they're not rolling in money, but they're certainly not a third world country either.
Hey, they're getting a lot of money from America thanks to Biden cutting back on our oil and making us energy dependent again. They're getting billions of dollars a year from us.
Well, not only from us, but from the rest of the world, because they are a major supplier of oil in Europe. Okay.
Yes.
And here's the deal. As the cost of a barrel of crude continues to rise, today it was trading at $93 a barrel.
Oh, yeah.
And I guarantee you, it's going to go up. It's going to be over $100 a barrel if this continues for another week. Okay. So the fact of the matter is, the higher a barrel of crude goes, the more money Russia is making, whether it's coming from us or from the people they're supplying, because, you know, supply and demand, right?
Exactly.
So they're getting rich, okay? And that's also part of what we wrote about in that article a couple of weeks ago. They've got money. And like you said in your opening statement tonight, Diane, what they need, they can get from China. That's in the article,
exactly.
too.
Okay? Exactly. Now, I will say, though, the Chinese president used the word president in air quotes because he's really a dictator. He advised Putin not to do what he's doing, but he said he would support him, you know, he would support him if he did it, but he advised him not to do it.
Right.
So that means if Putin did need some cash, which I don't think he's going to need, he could count on China. Now, people forget also, China gave the world COVID. Okay, we're now ignoring China completely, and we're focusing on Russia and Ukraine. We're losing sight. Go around the world a little more. China can sneak in from behind and really hurt us. And I'm not talking militarily, but could really hurt us economically.
Right.
And God only knows what else they got cooking in their labs.
Well, also today, you know, Biden came out today and he announced, oh, some of these tough sanctions, you know, and oh, how devastating this is going to be. You can hear Putin laughing from the Kremlin right now. But the UK came out today and they also slapped some sanctions on Russia. They slapped five banks, froze their assets along with three whole Russian billionaires. And not only did they sanction those billionaires from a financial standpoint, they also hit them with UK travel bans. Oh, scary.
Yeah. Oh, are they shaking in their boots? Now, ridiculous. What I would like to know, and no one has mentioned it, at least not on the TV news, the Americans that are in Ukraine. Are we going to leave them? God forbid that Putin goes in to Ukraine proper. Are we going to leave them?
Yes.
Hanging out to dry?
Yes. Yes, yeah. And I'll tell you.
I asked that rhetorically.
I can tell you why I answer that so quickly and so affirmatively. Biden already told them to get out, make their way to Poland however they could.
They could. No help from us.
Precisely. Precisely. No help from us. We have allies there, not only Americans, but we have Ukrainian allies there. They're going to be thrown under the bus, all of them, because we're not going to send our military in there to get them out. That would be an act of war, and we're not going to do that.
Yes, and that's the crux of this, guys. We might be sending equipment, we might be sending cash, but if we don't physically back up our allies with a fighting force, we basically allowed Putin to start making incursions into Europe proper.
But don't be mistaken, folks. We're not advocating for sending American troops.
No. They need
Ukraine.
To be at our southern border. Those troops need to be at our southern border.
They do. But the problem here is the sanctions that are being slapped around today are, for the most part, minor sanctions. Oh, they sound tough when you shake your fist in the air and point your finger at people. They sound tough, but they're not really that tough. And what Biden said today and what the UK said today is this is a starting point. And if Putin doesn't behave himself and reverse course, then there's going to be more sanctions. And if he doesn't behave himself, then there will be more after that. So you see, this is a slow rolling buildup on these sanctions. Therefore, the sanctions that were put in place today, no matter how tough you talk about them, they're not that tough of sanctions. They're meant as an opening round of sanctions to try and get Putin's attention. Well, Putin doesn't really care. So, there's that. And then you've got this other issue in that, Biden today again said, we're not going to send troops there. So what he's telling Putin is, you've pretty much got a green light. Do whatever you want to do, because we're not going to get in this fight. And honestly, it's not our fight to get in. But
no,
like you said in your opening statement tonight, Diane, these sanctions should have been put in place at least a month ago.
Exactly. Exactly. But you know the funny thing about all this? When you sit back and go back to the beginning, when this crisis first started, what did Putin want? He wanted assurances that Ukraine would not enter into NATO. Remember, anyone can apply to join to NATO, but it doesn't mean NATO has to accept them.
Right.
He wanted that, and he wanted more representation in the Ukrainian government. If he had gotten those two things in the beginning, we might not be facing the situation that we're facing. When I say we, I'm talking about the whole world here, because you're talking about nuclear powers against nuclear powers. Would it have been so awful if NATO said, okay, to keep world peace and to keep everybody safe, fine, we will not accept Ukraine? Would that have been so terrible? No.
Of course not.
Exactly.
But
no. Everybody, no. And that's when Biden jumped in and started egging this whole situation on. NATO should have had the guts to say, you know what, is Ukraine really that important to us strategically that we can't say, okay, we'll help you in ways we can, but we just won't cross the line of you being admitted?
Well,
there would have been nothing after that.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to argue that point. But then again, NATO didn't raise a finger when Putin went into Crimea in 2014.
That's right.
You know, they kind of shrugged their shoulders and said, oh, well, look, folks, we've made it to the bottom of the hour here. We do have to take a break, get a couple of station IDs in. We're going to come back and talk more about Ukraine in the final segment starting about 30 minutes from right now. But when we come back from this bottom of the hour break, Diane, you've got it with the Manchurian president. Folks, stay with us. There's more to come on Right Side Patriots after this.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sorey. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Hi, guys. Diane Sorey from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out The National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on rspradio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot and Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. If you miss any part of tonight's show, you can catch up tomorrow morning. Go to rspradio1.com, click the podcast button, and you can become one of the pod people by simply listening to tonight's show. You can pick from any of our shows. There's a whole stack of them up there if you hit the podcast button, and our thanks to Podbean for hosting that. We appreciate it. Okay, Diane. You know, we're talking a lot tonight. We're going to get back to Ukraine here in about a half an hour. But your op-ed that you posted up yesterday in the Patriot Factor at thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com really does have a lot to do with this in an odd sort of way. You have taken on Joe Biden as the Manchurian president.
Yes. And folks, by now it should be obvious to all that Joe Biden is medically unfit to hold office, both in the physical sense and in his being mentally unfit as well. And I say this not because I'm a conservative Republican who in no way wanted to see him as president, but because his actions, words, deeds, and demeanor, coupled with his decidedly anti-American agenda, are the antithesis of what an American president should be. America first should be his calling card, not America last. The so-called leader of the free world truly has the toughest job on earth, for he must be both president and also the conscience, if you will, of America's friends and allies alike. And dare not forget that in his role as president of these United States, Biden not only has his finger on the nuclear button, but is the sole decider of if and when to press it, meaning that Joe Biden must have clarity of mind to make the right and honorable decision, for making the wrong decision equates to World War III beginning. And as clearly can be seen by Biden's to-date decisions made, both foreign and domestic, by his press conferences, his speeches given both here and abroad, and of course in his guffaw-ridden public statements, Joe Biden has no such clarity for his mind, or what's left of it, is not only riddled with disease, but is, I believe, being both directed and manipulated to do Barack Hussein Obama's bidding by Barack Hussein Obama himself, with help from George Soros, of course. Simply, Joe Biden is not a well man, both physically and mentally, and therefore should not be allowed to hold the position of President of the United States, no matter that his November 2021 medical checkup seemed to make light of or find excuses for his clearly visible maladies. Remember, when Biden's attending physician, one Dr. Kevin C. O'Connor, stated that the frequency and severity of his throat clearing during speaking engagements was caused by simple acid reflux, and that Biden's so-called ambulatory gait was due to wear and tear on his spine, as in common for his age, arthritis, as well as being caused by a lingering limp from a previous fracture in his right foot, as well as being caused by a lingering limp in his right foot. Well, I believe none of that, for it appears to me that Joe Biden has either Parkinson's disease, Lewy body dementia, or a combination of both, all similar, Craig, but not the same as simple age-related dementia or classic Alzheimer's, as many think. And here I'll also add elderly abuse, but more on that in a bit.
Well, I'll tell you what, let's start with the Parkinson's disease, because just like poker players often have a tell, so does Parkinson's disease. There are several tells, several signs that you can see visually. What are some of the tells that Joe Biden has that leads you to believe there might be Parkinson's involved here?
Okay. Now, regarding Parkinson's, you got to understand it's a neurological disease whose most classic visible sign is tremors. I've noticed that sometimes when speaking, Biden exhibits erratic hand gestures or movements, and that when speaking at the podium or when giving TV interviews, he tends to clasp his hands together or actually hold something in one or both hands. And in the case of the podium, he can at times be seen holding on to the podium sides, all being actions that would help to conceal what would have been visible tremors. And his walking gait is that of someone with Parkinson's, as he has also been seen at times having trouble regulating the speed and size of his steps. Biden's walk now tends to be more like either a slow shuffle, which is called bradykinetic, or a stiff pacing, which is hypokinetic, as in minus normal knee bending or leg movements, along with his having little to no natural swinging of his arms. In fact, when we do see Biden swinging his arms, the back of his hands face forward, something most Parkinson's patients do, and they do so for added balance and stability. Also, Biden has been seen what's called freezing up when walking, as in being unable to move, something common with Parkinson's patients. And it's to a point where at times someone has had to take his arm to help guide him forward. Also, those with Parkinson's experience a change in their voice, especially in tonality, where one minute their voice is clear, the next it's raspy or hoarse, or even sometimes seeing the person straining to speak, as in trying to get the words out, all of which Joe Biden has exhibited at different times during different interviews, speeches, and press conferences. And to add to the list of symptoms, there's what's referred to as masking, where the person affected tends to look either serious, depressed, or even angry when they actually are not, or they more commonly present with a totally blank stare and hardly blink at all, deadpan, if you will. And when watching Biden, whether live on television or on video clips, deadpan clearly is now the face he presents way more times than not. And while some Parkinson's patients can and sometimes do show signs of dementia. That is not a usual symptom, nor a usual disease manifestation for most. In fact, if dementia does occur in a Parkinson's patient, they only exhibit dementia issues related to cognitive functions many years or even decades after visible motor issues become apparent. However, Craig, Lewy body dementia ups that game a notch. For not only are its physical symptoms similar to Parkinson's, as per the symptoms I just mentioned, but early on in the disease's progression, LBD does severely affect one's cognitive abilities, moods, and emotions, as well as their alertness and attention span, with hallucinations now also added into the mix.
So, up to this point, basically, what we're talking about here is some of the physical manifestations of both Lewy's and Parkinson's, probably leaning more towards the Parkinson's, but who knows at this point. But what are some of the other effects that we see in Joe Biden? Because it's not just the Parkinson's or maybe the Lewy's body dementia, but there's also some very, appearingly anyway, some very severe cognitive issues that have become very apparent.
Well, that's why I also say the Lewy's, because cognizance issues are very prominent with Lewy's. In fact, changes in Joe Biden's alertness and attention span, his overall confusion and forgetfulness, plus his emotional mood swings are things routinely witnessed in him, especially in his losing his train of thought, even when asked a simple question. And this can clearly be seen, and I have the video below, when immediately after being asked by NBC's Lester Holt a direct and focused question regarding his Afghanistan withdrawal fiasco, Biden mistakes both Ukraine and Iran for Afghanistan. And guys, you really have to see this video. Remember, too, Biden on a number of occasions has referred to Kamala Harris as President Harris. Nastily called a U.S. military veteran a, quote, dog-faced pony soldier when asked a question he didn't like, and angrily lost it when calling Fox News reporter Steve Doocy a, quote, son of a bitch in an off-mic moment. All things indicative of someone not thinking clearly, especially at the most inopportune of times. It's no wonder the Democrat hierarchy kept Biden hidden in his basement during the presidential campaign, and it was not because of COVID, as claimed, but because Joe Biden continues to suffer from a long-standing case of political foot-and-mouth disease. Simply, Biden was and is still not able to follow orders or instructions given, let alone know issues and facts. His notes and presser cheat sheets are proof of that. For if all was mentally right with Biden, his cognitive abilities would not come into question by those now on both sides of the political aisle. So where does all this leave our country leadership-wise? Simply, it leaves us with a president who is actually a danger to we the people and to both our constitutional republic and to the world at large. In fact, it's my personal opinion that Biden's physical and mental downfall goes way beyond just Parkinson's neurological issues, for I truly believe Joe Biden suffers from the more serious LBD Lewy's, with a dose of Parkinson's motor and speech issues thrown in for good measure. And to those who still say it's Alzheimer's, one must remember that Alzheimer's primarily affects the brain's ability to store new information, mostly in the form of language and memories, which is not really what appears to be happening with Biden. On the other hand, LBD specifically targets cognitive functions like problem solving and deductive reasoning, which are the very things that become more obvious every time Biden opens his mouth. And when Parkinson's and LBD are melded together, both the physical and mental decline of the person affected can either happen quickly or over a period of time, sometimes even taking a decade or more to fully manifest to the point where even strangers notice that something is just not right. And when you think about it, Biden's ability to reason, think clearly, solve problems, speak coherently, and even follow a simple train of thought, now coupled with serious motor issues, clearly visible in his actual physical deterioration, totally negates the rosy picture Dr. Kevin C. O'Connor painted back in November. And Craig, remember, Biden did not have a full scope mental evaluation.
Nor do I think he's about to.
I don't think he'll ever agree to it.
You know, I mean, it's there's too many pitfalls there if he doesn't. But earlier in this, you mentioned elder abuse. And this is something I don't think people understand, and I don't think we should gloss over it and just give it a mere mention at the beginning of this segment. So how does elder abuse factor into what we're seeing with Biden right now?
Okay. Now, as for elderly abuse, and no, I do not make this allegation lightly. Simply, if one is in the deep throes of dementia, be it because of Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, or Lewy body dementia, one would think their loved ones would protect them from harm and not thrust them into either the public nor the political venue where they would be ripe for the picking, so to speak. And Mrs. Jill Biden knows well that her husband is not physically nor mentally well and thus not capable to do the job he now holds. Joe Biden's decisions and mandates have put America herself and we the people in harm's way, as well as getting America involved in a war that might, or more likely, hopefully, will not take place. And while Jill Biden herself relishes in wearing designer clothes, and by the way, Craig, she's no Melania Trump, that's obvious, as well as hobnobbing with world leaders, her leading Joe Biden by the arm when he has no clue as to where he is political theater, as in all for show. This woman cares nothing about putting her sick and feeble husband in front of the public to be made a mockery of, as she allows this charade to continue on, solely to satisfy her own narcissistic ambitions and need to be first lady. If not true, then Jill Biden should put a stop to this and have her husband resign from office. No need to 25th Amendment him out, and do it for the good of her husband and our country as well. And while some will sound the alarm about Kamala Harris then becoming president, remember, nothing will change with her as president, as Obama will still be the one pulling all the strings and running the show. And besides, Harris and Obama will both be rendered politically impotent when we take back the House and the Senate come this November's midterm election. So all Biden's voluntarily resigning from office, or the 25th Amendment being enacted to remove him for health reasons, is but switching tit for tat. Case closed.
You know, it's interesting you talk about Jill Biden and her role in this, and you're absolutely right. You know, she pushes him to be out there doing these things because I don't think he has the cognitive capability of making decisions for himself. But the last time I think the U.S. saw a first lady in a position to, let's say, and I don't mean this literally, but I mean more figuratively, steer the president and do some of these things was when Eleanor Roosevelt did it for Franklin Roosevelt. Now, obviously, Franklin Roosevelt had severe physical limitations. But his limitations were limited to the physical, not the mental.
Correct.
Okay, and in the last couple of years of his life, his physical health was such that he could not get around. He could not attend a lot of functions and do these things. So Eleanor Roosevelt kind of stood in and did a lot of that stuff. It's a very different situation that we're seeing today.
Right. And also the thing is, Biden's whole actions during this Ukraine situation, you can see everything I've described. You can see it in his actions. The look on his face. You can see the holding on to things. You can see that he's reading off a teleprompter, but he won't take questions from reporters because he doesn't have the cognitive ability to answer them. He can read a teleprompter, but he can't put thoughts together to answer questions.
Well, and if you watched the statements Biden made from the White House today, you would have seen some of that too. At one point, he started to say something, then stopped and said, "No, I'm not going to get into that now. Not going to say that right now." And he went off to something else. So, you know, there's a lot of these things that every time Biden steps up to a microphone, we see him tripping over words. We see him losing his place, even when he's reading a teleprompter. We see him hesitate. We see him say things like, "No, I'm not gonna talk about that now." He's almost talking to himself when he says those things.
Many times, yes.
You know, and think back to the G8. Okay, you're talking about Jill Biden having to lead him by the arm at the G8. Biden was on some back patio at some ritzy country club, and he's just kind of meandering around. People are asking him questions, and all of a sudden, Jill Biden comes running up there. I mean, literally running up there and guides him out of that area.
I have that in one of the photos in the article. But this has happened before. He's been led by Secret Service. Remember that meandering by the White House, where of the Secret Service agents had to direct him.
Well, he got off Marine One, the helicopter,
right,
and he's walking up to the White House, and there's a little walkway there, a little sidewalk, and he's going up the sidewalk. The sidewalk makes a 90-degree right turn, and there's a Secret Service guy standing there at the 90-degree. Pointing the way, and Biden walks right past him into the grass and goes all the way down to the far end of the White House and has to turn around and come back on the porch.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, it is clear that this man is suffering from a physical illness as well as mental. I'm not going to call it a mental illness in the classical sense because it is caused by a physical disease. But it's still, he is not mentally right. This man should not be president of the United States. Can you imagine him in one of his unlucid moments and he presses the nuclear button or something, especially with what's going on now? Do you really trust him as our commander in chief?
No, of course not. And if you go back, folks, if you go back and look at videos of Biden, let's say 5 years ago, 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the Biden you see there doesn't really make any more sense than the Biden we have today, but at least his thoughts were put together. They were, you know, typical liberal thoughts, so they didn't make a whole lot of sense in the grand scheme of things. But he wasn't tripping over everything. He could actually answer questions, and he could actually speak out loud. And as little as 4 or 5 years ago, he still had that ability. Today, he does not.
Right. I actually watched him walk off the stage today. And he had that stiff gait walking off. The knees didn't really bend like normal people's do. It was very stiff. And they were not huge steps. They weren't shuffling this time. I have seen him shuffle, but this time they weren't. But they weren't a normal gait. And folks, I don't make these accusations lightly. I have seen Parkinson's patients. I have seen Lewy body dementia patients. I strongly believe he's got a combination of the two. He has Lewy's and he has Parkinson's. Could I be wrong? Of course. Could he be doped up? Could he be on, you know, amphetamines? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's possible. I think they gotta put something at him just to get him out there, you know.
Yeah, but I think he definitely has one of those two or a combination. He is not, he doesn't present as a typical Alzheimer's patient.
No, and as far as the gait, his walking gait is concerned, mm-hmm. what I see there is what I call a halting gait. Now, for okay. instance, if you take a guy of any size, you can pretty well figure what their stride, the length of each stride should be. And right. I think Biden's coming up about 8 inches short, maybe 10 inches short on each stride. And if you see him in a full-length shot walking, let's say, across the lawn or across the tarmac or, you know, across a large room, a lot of times when he walks, he does it opposite of what somebody who is not suffering from these physical disabilities right. would do. If you're walking, generally, your heel comes down first and you roll onto your toe and you move to the next foot, right? But a lot yes. of times what I see Biden doing is that toe comes down first, and that's what makes that gait halting.
And also he's using his arms. I noticed it again today after his speech. He's using his arms for balance.
Right.
That's not something that we all do.
You yeah, know, not, not in that way.
There's a specific placement of the arms when you're using them for balance as opposed to us walking where we don't even think about our arms. They automatically move as they should be moving. He is consciously maneuvering the arms for added balance and stability.
There's a lot of signs, a lot of tells that are going on yeah. there, folks. And there's that one video in particular that you have in there, that interview with Lester Holt. You're right. People need to see that. The yeah. best way you can do that, you can get Diane's op-ed two different ways. You can go to thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com. You can read it there and pick up the link there. Or you can go to rspradio1.com. You can get it there. But either way you do it, you need to share that link and you need to see that video. And one thing I want to draw people's attention to in that video, he's sitting in a chair. He's got yeah. a pen in one hand and a note card of some sort in the other hand. Pen in the right, note card in the left. And this is what you're talking about in part of that op-ed. People that are suffering from these things often have to hold on to something in one or both hands. And
it
he's
masks
doing that.
The tremors. Well, let me add one thing. And I'd like to see, I mean, it would be very hard to do. You know, the president's health information is given out, but it doesn't mean we're being told the truth. You know, there's also the Privacy Act as far as medical is concerned. However, I would love it if something like Project Veritas could do this. If you can find the medications Joe Biden has taken through the pharmacy records and you knew what the drugs were, you would have definitive proof. Parkinson's right. people are given certain medications, as are Lewy body dementia patients.
Right.
You would be able to tell immediately. But I mean, that's beyond our abilities to you know, get the documents to get a pharmacy record and this right. and that. But it can be gotten, because remember, Joe Biden, while he might have private insurance and insurance through the government, he's also a Medicare patient.
Well,
so there are certain ways you can get certain information, but you got to know how to do it.
That's true, but that only works if his medication is being gotten under his name.
Exactly. It might not be gotten under his name, but big guys like Project Veritas or Judicial Watch or some of those people, I think, can find out.
I would think so. But, folks, we've made it to the top of the hour. Now, normally we would come back and I would do a segment, and tonight my segment was going to be my recollection or my insights into the Super Bowl. Yeah, it's a snarky article. I'm not doing it tonight. I'm going to hold it, and hopefully we'll have a chance to do it on Friday. If not, let me just tell people where they can get it. You can go to thenationalpatriot.com, and you can get it there. I don't have it up on rspradio1.com yet, but you can get it at thenationalpatriot.com. But hopefully, come Friday, we'll have a chance that I can do that, because it is kind of fun. There's some laughs involved in that.
And Friday is a lighter show. Well, it might not be with what's going on, but it's usually a lighter show.
Well, and, you know, we're going to come back. We got to take a quick break, get a couple more station IDs in here. But when we come back, we're going to finish our discussion tonight regarding Ukraine, what Putin's doing there, what Russia's doing, Biden's response, the world's response. And we're going to look at this from a couple of standpoints that you're not going to hear in any other media outlets. So stay with us, because there's more to come about Ukraine on Right Side Patriots after this.
Hey guys, Diane Sori from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out The National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sori. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot and Diane Sori right over there at the Patriot Factor. It is 2/22/22, Tuesday night edition of the show. If you miss any part of this, just go to rspradio1.com tomorrow morning. It'll be there if you click the podcast button.
Yes.
Okay, Diane, we need to talk some more about what's going on the world stage right now. And, you know, we spoke in the opening segment of the show about the fact that Putin would not be in a position to be the enemy that he is today were it not for Bill Clinton, Obama, Obama-Biden, and now Biden. Okay? But if you go back to, you know, the campaign for 2020, okay, Joe Biden said, and I quote, "Vladimir Putin doesn't want me to be president. He doesn't want me to be our nominee. If you're wondering why, it's because I'm the only person in this field who's ever gone toe-to-toe with him."
Toe-to-toe.
Now, let's just remember how the Biden, Obama-Biden regime went toe-to-toe with Putin back in 2014 when Putin went into Crimea. Biden and Obama sent blankets to Ukraine.
Yeah. What
blankets
good do blankets do when you're fighting a tangible flesh and blood enemy?
Right. I mean, you know, this is going toe-to-toe. You know, give me a freaking break.
Yeah. No. And there's also something interesting, Craig, that you and I talked about during the break about a certain statement that Biden made in 2019.
Go ahead.
Oh, I thought you wanted to. Okay.
No, go ahead.
Okay. Quote, this is Joe Biden's own words. Putin knows that when I am president of the United States, his days of tyranny and trying to intimidate the United States and those in Eastern Europe are over. Really? Really, Joe? Maybe in 2019 you had a little bit of cognitive ability left, but you sure lost it in the interim.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, when you think about this, and, you know, we covered a lot of ground in the first segment tonight. We talked about a lot of different aspects about what's going on in Ukraine, the Crimea end of this thing, Russia, Biden, so on and so forth. We even covered Israel and what their possible role diplomatically could become in all of this. But there is one other aspect that we have not covered in this. It was mentioned in the article that you and I wrote a couple of weeks ago, but I think now we need to go into it a little bit more, and I think maybe this is the place in the show tonight that we do that.
Okay, well, which part are you talking about?
Well, while all of this is happening over in Ukraine, and it's unfolding even as we speak, okay, there are basically two entities that are watching this very, very closely. One of them we mentioned in the first segment, that's China.
Right.
The other one is Iran. Because whatever they see Vladimir Putin getting away with, they're going to try it. Now, obviously, obviously China wants to try it with Taiwan. Okay. But Iran, they want to try it with the whole of the Middle East, beginning with Israel.
Well, have you noticed that since this Ukraine thing has come to the forefront, the whole thing of Iran announcing they have nuclear capabilities now has sort of been pushed aside? Like the world has forgotten, do they or don't they? We still don't know.
Well,
all of a sudden going to be surprised with a boom?
It should come as no surprise to anyone if something does go boom. Because, I mean, you and I are both of the mind that Iran already has a nuclear weapon.
Yes, they has and had it for a while, yes.
They may not have it completely refined. They may not have the perfect delivery system yet. Mm-hmm. But they've got the weapon. At least they've got the crude material to turn into a weapon. But between China and North Korea, Iran has access to delivery systems that can easily reach Israel, if not other places, possibly even in Europe. So you can't take Iran off the table in this.
Right.
They're watching what Biden does, because if Biden does in Europe what he did in the Middle East with Afghanistan, it's giving the green light to both China to go into Taiwan and Iran to do whatever the hell those idiots want to do.
And you got to remember, of late, and I'm talking about in the past few weeks, North Korea has been test firing their rockets. Are they test firing it for themselves?
No.
Or are they test firing them for their buddies in Iran?
Ding, 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 ding. We have a winner.
About that? Have you heard Biden standing up to Kim Jong-un with this stuff? Not a word.
Not a peep. Not a peep.
I'm almost thinking that Biden, in his state of mind, I'm almost thinking he wants a full-scale war
But let's remember who's pulling Biden's strings, and that's Obama. Okay, now.
But Craig, remember, Ukraine has information on the Bidens.
Oh,
we
yeah.
all know that. However, Ukraine probably has information on Obama as well.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised, okay, because a lot of the crap that took place with Biden took place during the Obama regime.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
But let's not discount who's pulling Biden's strings. And we all know that's Barack Hussein Obama. Now,
right.
What is it that Obama wants that Putin also wants? And they both want it equally as bad. I'll tell you what it is, folks. They want America's economy to suffer.
Correct. They want to collapse it, basically. Not just suffer, but they want to collapse it, because if they collapse the economy, they could rebuild it as a socialistic economy.
Well, and if you're wondering what that might look like, turn around and face north. Because we're seeing that crap happening in Canada today.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
But Obama wants our nation's economy destroyed, so does Putin. Obama did his level best to destroy our economy for 8 years. And I tell you, he had this economy so stagnant that nobody thought that one president in one term could turn it around until Trump did it.
Right. And then what did Biden do as soon as he got in? He killed every positive policy that Trump put into place, including took us off of being energy independent and has now made us dependent on foreign oil, including oil from Russia.
Exactly.
This is like a deliberate fall of this country. Orchestrated. It's an orchestrated fall of this country, leading to it being reborn under socialism.
Now, as per your op-ed, the Manchurian president that we just covered in the previous segment, it's pretty obvious that Biden doesn't have the cognitive capability to do this on his own.
Okay?
Right. But we know Obama does. And we know Obama
Absolutely.
Gave it his best shot for 8 years. We know Putin would like nothing more than to see the U.S. economy destroyed. Now, there's a reason for that. Now, Obama wants it destroyed to rebuild it into a socialist country. Putin wants it destroyed for a very simple reason. A country like the United States, if we are strong and running on all cylinders, wide open, full throttle in our economy, we are extremely, excessively strong on the world stage. However, if our economy falters, if our economy tanks, if inflation continues to climb, and we're talking about the possibility of 10% inflation by this
right.
summer,
right.
If all of that happens, then we lose power on the world stage. That's what's in it for Putin. Socialism is what's in it for Obama. They both want the same thing for different reasons, and they want our economy to tank. Nobody in the mainstream media is going to make that link, but we will.
No, not at all. And it's a direct link, folks. You can see it happening every day. Look at some of our grocery stores where shelves are empty. Look at the prices rising for gas. I mean, this situation is apparent, but you got to remember something else. Every time we have a Democrat administration, our foreign policy goes down the tubes.
Right.
Can you really remember the last time our foreign policy was strong under a Democrat? It wasn't even strong under Kennedy, because remember, while he did succeed with the Cuban Missile Crisis, he fell flat on his face with the Bay of Pig invasion.
Right. And Kennedy wasn't around long enough to find out if he could rebound from the disaster of the Bay of Pigs. Yeah,
right.
he did okay in the Cuban Missile Crisis. You know, he averted a nuclear war with Russia, by the way,
right.
in that situation. But what would his policies, where would his policies have taken us if he'd have lived?
Correct.
We don't know.
We don't know. So no Democrat. I mean, our foreign policy under Bill Clinton was a joke. Jimmy Carter. Oh, my God. Remember the Iranian hostage crisis? I mean, under any Democrat president, our foreign policy is ridiculous. I'm talking about in modern times, in our generations. We know about FDR and World War II and Wilson. We're not talking about those times. We're talking about modern times.
The last time I can remember that a Democrat president really exhibited the ultimate backbone was when Harry Truman dropped the bomb to end World War II.
Right. Exactly. I said, though, in modern times, which usually consider from Kennedy on.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, you got to go back a little bit further to really get to the last time we saw a Democrat president show some cojones.
Right. That's very true.
Yeah. Well, that may, that may have not been the right word, because Clinton obviously showed some cojones under the desk.
That's true. He just didn't show it where it counted, right?
That was more domestic policy than foreign policy.
Right.
You get right down to it. But, Ukraine was a nuclear power until Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton made Ukraine give their nukes back to Russia.
Right.
Would any of this be happening today if Ukraine still had nukes?
No. No, well, it depended on how many, but I don't think it would be happening at all. And it wouldn't be happening if Trump was in the White House.
Odd that you mentioned that, because Trump came out and made some statements.
Yes.
Last night and today. Diane, what did he say?
Basically, he is furious. He is like we are. This is Biden's doing. He's not happy at all.
He shouldn't be.
No. And unfortunately, it's really hard to explain without crossing a line here. But I really think if this situation continues the way it's going, Biden must be removed from office.
Well, and I agree.
The only way it could be done to save our country from what's going to happen is through the military.
I've got something else I want to throw into the mix here in the 12 minutes that we have left, and you and I really haven't talked about this, so it's going to come kind of out of the blue to you, but what role, we've talked a lot about NATO, but what role do you see the UN playing in all of this?
The UN will bloviate a lot. They'll try to throw their weight around. They'll call for the main meetings to be called to order. They'll gather all the nations together. They'll make a couple of threats and do nothing.
I'll tell you what the UN could do that would probably get Putin's attention, okay, in a way that NATO never would be able to, in a way that Biden simply is incapable of. Not that Obama wants to get Putin's attention through Biden.
Right.
But I'll tell you what the UN could do that would set Putin back a lot more than any of these sanctions. The UN could tell Putin, you get the hell out of there right now, or you no longer have a seat on the UN Security Council.
They don't have the guts to do it.
I agree with you. They don't have the guts. They don't have the balls to do something like that. But they could. That's my point. They could do it. And if they did, Putin does not want to give up a one-off veto vote on that Security Council. Because a lot of the crap that Putin... a lot of the crap that Putin wants to do, you know, the Security Council could stop him. Okay, and a lot of things the rest of the world wants to do, Putin can stop them. You remove Russia from the UN Security Council, you remove their ability to veto anything, and all of a sudden you've got Vladimir Putin's attention.
But the thing is, I don't think you can just willy-nilly remove something, someone from the Security Council. I think that has to be a vote taken by the Security Council members, and right. That won't happen.
I agree. It won't happen. But somebody should at least attempt it.
The UN, the useless nations.
Yeah, they don't have the
guts to do it.
No, you're right. They don't. I'm just saying that is something that would get his attention a lot more than any of these sanctions ever will.
The sanctions are a joke. As they stand now, the sanctions, except for what Germany's doing, the ones put on by Biden are a complete and total joke, and Putin must be laughing tonight, you know, in his royal palace or whatever they call it.
I would think so. I mean, I really would.
You know, the people of Ukraine are the only ones that are going to suffer from this. But like I said in the beginning, this could have been diffused right in the beginning. What harm would it have done to say to Ukraine, look, we'll be your ally, we'll help where we can, but you can't join NATO. Remember, folks, Sweden is not a member of NATO.
Right.
Okay, so not everybody really wants to be a part of NATO. I understand why Ukraine wants to, but what strategic, really, when you really think about it, what strategic reason is there for really wanting NATO at this point?
It's a good question to ask, but we got like 7 or 8 minutes left here, and I think there's other questions we need to ask. So let me pose a question to you, because I'm interested in your take on this.
Okay.
Given what we've seen over the last 24 hours, given what we've learned from contacts, okay, where do you think Putin goes from here? Do you think these two little areas that he named today as independent from Ukraine, do you think this is the end of it for him, or do you think there's more?
I think he might go into Dumas, because that's where the separatists who want to be part of Russia are, you know, one of the areas they're primarily operating out of there. So I think he might try to go into there. This way he's got the two regions that he declared independent, then he would have that. So he would be on both borders of Ukraine. I personally, and I very well could be wrong, I think the only way he will go into Ukraine proper itself is through political means of saying, look, I took this, I really don't want to come in to here, but I want more representation in your government. And I think to stop what could turn into a full-blown European war, if not a world war, I think it would be advantageous to Ukraine to at least discuss the idea with him.
Well, I think you're right. I think it would be advantageous to have that discussion. Here's the way I see it, and this is a little different. I mean, you and I wrote the article 2 weeks ago, and at that point, things were different than they are right now.
Right.
And
right.
At that point, we didn't see this going anywhere. We thought this was going to be a nothing burger. Obviously, tonight, it's not a nothing burger. We're just not sure how big of a burger it really is yet. But here's what I see. I hope you're right, Diane. I hope he's going to be satisfied with the two regions, Donbass and obviously Crimea, because he got that in 2014.
Right. He already has that. Yeah.
But I don't think that's enough. I don't think he wants to stop there. I think he's going to go all the way to Kiev. And I think if Zelensky and the Ukrainian government doesn't roll over, I think Putin will roll over them. I think he'll take tanks in there. I think he'll go in there militarily, and he'll take that away. I don't know that Zelensky has the intestinal fortitude to stick it out and stand up and fight.
He's saying right now that he will.
He's saying it, but I think when push comes to shove, I think you're going to see Zelensky head for the hills. I think he's going to get out of Dodge. I don't think Putin's going to be satisfied with just having the eastern edge of Ukraine. I think he wants all of Ukraine. And here's the deal. The more of these sanctions that get put in place, I would not be one bit surprised. I'm interested in what you think, but I would not be one bit surprised if Putin doesn't come out and say, because we haven't heard from Putin.
Right.
Okay. I wouldn't be surprised if Putin comes out and says, you keep going with these sanctions, we're going to make that your declaration of war against us, and then there's no stopping us. I don't know that NATO has the balls to do what they have to do if, and it's a big if, Putin decides he wants to go into Belarus, if he wants to go into Poland, if he wants to go into Czechoslovakia, whatever.
Let's put it this way. Craig, you forget something. NATO is primarily financed by us.
Right. And we obviously, under Biden, we're not going to send troops fight the Russians. Now, we'll park some troops around the edge of Ukraine, you know, but if Putin decides I'm going into Poland, then my guess is Biden will pull our troops out of Poland.
Yeah, like he did in Afghanistan.
Right.
Absolutely. But I wonder, if he was to go to Poland and then, you know, move westward, remember, a lot of those countries are nuclear armed, just like he is. And I think that might be a deterrent.
I hope so.
Because I don't think Putin is dumb enough to start a nuclear world war.
I hope that's
what it would boil down to.
I don't think he's that stupid either, okay? I mean, I really don't. But I think he wants all of Ukraine. I think he wants Kiev. And I think he's willing to do whatever it takes to get it. Now, I just think that we're going to hear from Putin in the next 24 to 48 hours, and he's going to say, look, you keep it up with these sanctions, and that's a declaration of war, and we'll move on Kiev almost immediately. So,
but it's not really a declaration. It's not really a declaration of war, because we have sanctions on Cuba, we have sanctions on Venezuela, we have sanctions on Iran, we have sanctions on North Korea.
I understand.
It's not really a declaration of war per se.
I understand that, but I'm saying that's what Putin's going to say. He's going to call it a declaration of war. It's not, but he's going to refer to it as that and use it as an excuse.
I'm not 100%. I'm not saying no, but I'm not 100% sure of that. What I think has to be considered at this point to prevent a full-scale war in Europe is some kind of concessions. I hate to say this, but I think some kind of concessions are going to have to be made with Ukraine.
Well, I think you're right, but I don't think that's going to be enough to satisfy Putin at this point. He's got Europe over a barrel, he's got the U.S. over a barrel, and he's loving every minute of this.
Of course he is. And he's got China on his side. And right. Iran on his side. Where Biden got us involved in a dangerous, dangerous game.
Bingo.
Ukraine was not our fight. and they're not a NATO nation. It wasn't our fight. No, do you want to see Ukraine fall? Of course not. However, the way the world situation is now, we need to pick our battles.
Exactly. That is the primary point.
I don't think this is the right battle. Yeah.
You're absolutely 100% correct. We got to pick our battles. This is the wrong battle.
Battle.
And we're going to have to leave it right there, folks, because we are out of time tonight. Hopefully, we'll be able to get the Super Bowl article in on Friday. Obviously, we're going to have more to talk about with Ukraine, depending on what happens over the next 48 to 72 hours. So you don't want to miss Friday's show, I can tell you that.
Right. Right.
But right now, Diane, we got to leave it right there.
Good night, guys, and hope nobody has nightmares tonight.
I think we covered a lot of ground. We covered a lot of bases tonight. Folks, you heard things you're not going to hear in any of the mainstream media sources. But with that, have a great night. We'll catch up with you on Friday.